be seated.
We're going to take a moment, pray for Pastor Jim, and then ask him to come and open the word for us.
I'm assuming that means we're on. It's good to be here and to hear and see what God is doing here at your church. And I'm grateful for that. As Wade was standing up here making announcements and doing all that stuff, I was thinking, boy, I don't miss that. you know, as a pastor, you always have to make all these announcements and meetings and budgets and servant sheets and all that good stuff. But anyway, I'm glad that you're doing it. I'm glad that God is working with you and through you and in you, because that's what we desperately need today, is God's church not to sit back and rest and be content, but God's church to storm the gates of hell because the gospel is so needed. Hebrews chapter 12, if you'll turn there. And I want to read the first five verses of that and talk today about what it takes to live an intentional life. We're so distracted today, so many distractions. You don't even have to hardly walk out your door anymore to be distracted, you know. And so if we're not careful, we'll let those distractions drive us away from our walk with Christ. And it takes a lot of effort and work to really live intentionally for Christ and to stay on track and all those things. And I want to share with you just three things that I find are necessary. There's others, I'm sure, and you may have some better than what I have. But I think three things that we vitally need today, church, Christians, to stay intentional in living each day for Christ. Because if you're not living intentionally for Christ, you're wasting life. You know, you really are. And we don't want that. So I want to talk today about three things. Focus. You've got to be focused. You've got to have faith that is working. Not just say you have faith, but a faith that is working. And then you have to be filled and led by the Spirit of God. Those three things we're going to look at. And I hope that God will help us to gain a greater understanding is my prayer here today. And so beginning in verse 1 of Hebrews 12, now I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, so we won't argue about that. There's others who will say Apollo wrote it and others, but I just find Paul all over the book of Hebrews. That's me personally. So if I say Paul wrote this, don't get too far out of shape there. That's just my thoughts on it. But in verse 1, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience," or endurance. I like the word endurance, because patience, you know, implies sitting back, twiddling our thumbs in a rocking chair on the porch, you know, just being patient. But I like the word endurance, because endurance conveys to me something. It's something I need to be doing constantly to run the race with endurance, that I'm not to let up, that I'm constantly are aware of what's going on. And he says to run that race that is set before us. Now, folks, that is not a suggestion that he gives us here. That is a command. It's a command from God that we run the race. It's not a suggestion, something you say, well, if I have time, feel like, or whatever. No, it's a command, a clear command. And what that basically means, God says, do this, continue to do it, and never stop doing it. When do you lay down, your racing guard? Not until you get to glory, right? And then that's when the race will be over for us. Then he goes on to say in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's enough in verse 2 to preach probably 50, 60 sermons. I tell you, that verse is so packed full of truth. Then in verse 3, for consider him, that is to consider Christ, that endured such contradiction, and that word contradictions means hostility, that he experienced, right? I mean, they weren't kind to Jesus. They weren't nice to Jesus. Matter of fact, they bled him to a bloody pulp even before he got to Calvary, didn't they? And he was so beat up and bloody, it would probably been hard to recognize him, you know, his facial expressions and stuff. They said, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Folks, let me just remind you, this is not a time for the church to faint. This is not a time for the church to wear out and wear down. This is a time for the church to endure this race. And it's vitally important. If you're going to be intentional in your living for Christ, that's something the Holy Spirit's going to have to drive deep within your heart. Then in verse 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, that is bloodshed. We haven't gotten to that point, but it may come. And he says, and you have forgotten, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto us as children, my son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Sometimes God's got to do a little disciplining in our lives, right? Get our attention, to get us corrected. It's not so much to punish us, but it's to correct us, to improve us, is what that really implies. And so here we find in these verses of this chapter 12 that very clear that we're to be intentional in our lives for Christ. Did you know that God's act of salvation to save us, to reconcile us, to justify us, to sanctify us, was an intentional act on God's part? God intentionally designed a cross. There was a cross in the heart of God long before it was planned on Calvary's mountain. God knew that, and he knew what it was going to take in order to bring us our salvation, or his salvation into our lives, I should say. And so his act of salvation was intentional. Every one of us here today, if you're a child of God, God had you in mind long before Jesus died on Calvary. I believe that with all my heart. I believe in the sovereignty of God. And so I believe if salvation from God is an intentional act on his part, then shouldn't it stand to reason that we as God's people who have salvation should live out that salvation in an intentional way every day? I mean, I think that if we're not living for Christ every day, what are we living for? We have to be intentional. Every day get up and say, I'm going to live this day for Jesus. When you go to work, you should say, I'm going to live for Jesus at work. In the house, I'm going to live for Jesus in my marriage, in my parenting, and how I spend my money, what I watch with my eyes, what I hear with my ears. You know, it's got to be woven into everything we do, this idea of being intentional for Christ. There's not a time that Jesus says to you, you can take off a few days or a few weeks. No, it's daily. That's why he said we've got to run this race that is set before us. Every day is required. You see, being intentional, folks, is not anything that's mystical or hard to understand. It is simply living out God's salvation in Christ. In Philippians 2:12, remember Paul said to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, not work for your salvation, but to work out your salvation. That's the same thing we find here in Hebrews chapter 12, where he says, you know, to run the race with endurance. What it means to work out your salvation is to continue to live out that which God has already started working in your life. When God saved you, he put a purpose, a meaning in your life. And he expects you not just to stop at that point, but to continue what? Every day to live that out. Work it out with fear and trembling. I've told churches everywhere, and I may have told you when I spoke, I can't remember, I'm getting old, you know. Those moments when you're standing there thinking, now, what did I just say? What do I need to say? But, you know, I believe this on my heart, I really do. If there was no purpose beyond salvation, the day that God saved me, I would have dropped dead and gone to glory. But you see, we're still here. So that means that God has something in mind for us, and that is to run this race. And the race is required in all areas of our Christian lives. We can't divorce anything and say, well, this part, but not that part. It's got to be woven into everything. So we need to continue to work out that which God's already working in us. And God is at work, isn't he? Has God stopped? Has God given up? No, God's still at work. And so in order to see where God's activity is at, what God is up to, so that we can be a part of that, we've got to be intentional in our living. So when you think about this, to be intentional is not a duty. To me, it's a delight. I should delight every day that I'm alive in Jesus and I can live for him. Shouldn't be, oh, got to get up and go do that, you know. Oh, Lord, you know, if I wasn't so tired, didn't have so much to do. We should have every day with a bounce in our step and be delighted that he's called us out of this world and saved us, made us something brand new, and sent us back into the world to make him look good. So it's not a duty. It should be a delight, as I understand. And it's making a daily choice, really, to glorify God. If you're going to live an intentional life, you've got to make that daily choice. No matter who I'm with, where I'm at, what I'm doing, I'm going to do whatever it takes to glorify God. That's what we're about, isn't it? The highest privilege we have as Christians, as a church, is to glorify him. It doesn't mean you have to have a big building, you have to have this or that. It simply means your heart needs to be set on him. And the desire of your heart is to do everything you can to make him look good to this lost and dying world. You see, to me, intentional living shows to me in my heart, my life, and hopefully in yours, what is most precious to us. What is most important to us. What's most precious to me every day. I should get up and say, what's most precious is my relationship with Christ, and I want to run the race with him and for him. What's most important, that I'll not just get in the race, but I run the race, and I run the race to win. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 or 27. Paul says it's just not enough just to get in the race, but you need to run like you're going to win it and keep running. He talked about those perishable crowns they would receive, but we will get something that's imperishable. So when you're in this race, don't just say, well, this is what I've got to do. I'll just do what I have to get through it. No, you need to say, I'm going to run like I'm going to win this thing. Because Jesus endured, it says, the cross. Look what they did to him. And why did he do that? Because of his love to the Father, his love for us. That he was willing to step off the throne, lay aside his glory, come down here, walk to Calvary and die, lay his life down voluntarily for us. I think about this a lot, that he took the judgment. Now think about this. He took the judgment of our sin in his own body and took our place and endured the wrath and the punishment of God towards sin. His wrath and punishment wasn't towards his son. It was towards the sin that his son was willing to take upon him, our sin. And I think about what he endured, then I say, this race that he's put me in is worth enduring. It's worth running it so that I can live to glorify him. So it shows us, and I think this, whatever owns your eyes owns your heart. You know, if your work owns your eyes, your work owns your heart. If playing games and hobbies and doing all that stuff has your eyes, it's going to have your heart. Now, let's just get real. That's true, isn't it? And I know our humanity well enough, and I know myself, we find so many ways to justify that. But do you know when you're on vacation, you're not away from God. God goes with you on vacation, right? And you should go on a vacation to what? To seek to glorify him. You think God stops working in your life when you go on vacation? You think God, you're just there by accident? God puts you in place, doesn't he? And he puts you there for a reason, that you are his witness. You are light. And if we're not in the race and running it with endurance and being intentional, we're going to miss those opportunities that God has designed for us. So I want to look quickly here at these three principles. You have a clock around here. No clocks? All. Well, I know your food is back there. But let me share these three principles that I think are important, and I hope you find them. The first one is focus. Focus helps us to know the why of why we're in this race. When I look into Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, that answers the question, why am I to do this? It's right there. Don't need anything more than that, do you? He endured the cross for me. He gave me new life, eternal life. He's forgiven me of all my sin. He sanctified me, justified me, pasteurized me, you know, homogenized me, all those, galvanized me, however else, you know, all those things God can do. And he's done that for me. And so, do I need to know why I'm in this race? Well, Paul said to look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Did you know, isn't it amazing how quickly you can be distracted? You know, it doesn't take hardly any effort to be distracted, does it? But you know what? It takes a lot of effort to stay focused. Yeah, you could be riding down the road in a terrible snowstorm, icy roads and stuff, you know, holding on to the steering wheel, trying to watch that road, and all of a sudden you see something on the side of the road. What happens? You glance, you lose focus. Focus is so easy to happen. I mean, distraction is so easy to happen. Focus is hard to keep. Now, if we could pour our minds out right now, right here on the floor, I'd say come up here and open your head up and pour your mind and see what's in our minds right now. You know what I think would happen? We'd probably find some of you have already left the service. You know what I'm saying? Because you're distracted. Really. And it's hard, I know, to come and stay focused, but that's why we're here, to focus upon Jesus Christ. To understand the importance of this race. You see, when I think about this distraction, it's so important that I do all I can through the help of the Holy Spirit to remain focused. Because distractions, and I'm afraid that's what's happening in our world right now, to our church. So many people are distracted by what's going on. And I know, I mean, I live it, same as you do. That's why we have to really stay focused so that we're not distracted and led away and let up and let down and become weary and well-doing, lose heart and faint and all those things. Looking unto Jesus, it's a command. If we're looking to Him, then we'll realize the why we're in this race and understand the purpose of our running that race with endurance. It doesn't take much effort, but it takes a lot of discipline to remain focused on Christ. You see, one of the things that looking unto Jesus will help us focus, help us to live an intentional life, because when we look to Jesus, we find He is the light of the world. And He is the life of man. If we're not looking to Jesus, you see, we're going to find ourselves led astray, distracted away. That's why we need to stay focused so that we're not led astray, that we see Christ as the light, that truth is always the key factor in my life, that I'm not led away with lies. And there's so many lies out there now. And some of God's people are buying into those lies. You've got to stay focused on Christ if you're going to be intentional in your living for Christ so that you're not led astray. You see, when I look unto Jesus, I see the truth. I see light. Light exposes darkness. You want to know what truth is? Look to Christ. Look at His life, what He taught, how He lived. Truth is still relevant today. Truth is timeless. It never changes. Truth, the truth of God, speaks to every generation as fresh and new as it did back then with those early disciples. How many people, though, want to change the truth to fit their lifestyle? We're seeing that happening to justify their sinfulness. That's why we're not careful, we can get distracted. That's why we need to stay focused. We're going to be intentional on living for Christ so that we see light dispelling the darkness and truth prevailing in my heart and my life, truth that will shape my values and how I live and all of those wonderful things God has in store for us. We got to see light so we can see the weights and the sins. Isn't that what He said there? If you're going to be intentional, you got to lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets you. What that means is, you know, you got weights. I'm not talking about this weight. He's talking about weights. What is a weight? Why do we need to lay aside? Light will expose those weights. Truth will reveal to us what those weights are. Weights can be something not necessarily evil and bad. It can be something good. Anything that will draw us away from Christ, anything that will get our focus off of Jesus, can become a bad thing. You know, they always said too much of a good thing can become a bad thing if it pulls us away from our walk with Jesus. I mean, it can be anything. It can be an attitude, you know. I read this week about, you know, God's called us and given us the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5 there. And the guy was saying in this devotional I was looking at, he said, if you're not reconciled with each other, how in the world can you be a reconciler for God? That's a weight. If you have odds with somebody, if you're at odds with somebody, that's a weight that will trip you up and trap you. So the writer of Hebrews says, when you look to Jesus, focus on Him, the light of Christ, the truth of God's Word, will show you that weight, and you need to get rid of it because it has no value in your life or living. A weight can be any distraction that keeps us away from living our life in an intentional way. Oh, sins, well, you know, I don't have time, but you know what sin is. Any sin, it can be anything. It can be bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. It can be some sinful habit. It can be that you're now playing around with the lust of the flesh, and God doesn't want you there. When you want to live intentionally for Christ, you've got to stay focused, folks. That's why the writer says, look unto Jesus. That's not a casual glance, folks. I mean, you know, you can go through life, someone says, look at that, and you can look, oh, okay, and go on. Not 5 minutes later, forget what you know, looked at. This is talking about not a casual glance, but an intensity, a gaze that nothing can get you away from. It's intentional. It's like setting your eyes upon Jesus, refusing to let anyone or anything turn those eyes away from you. That takes discipline, doesn't it? It's like this when you're at work, you see, and they're telling dirty jokes. Now, I'm an old timer, I'm an old schooler. I still think dirty jokes are not proper. I think they're sinful. No, that's just me. But if they're engaged in vulgar talk, you know, using every word that they can think of, and if you stand right there and participate and laugh, what have you done? You failed to be intentional for Christ in that moment. But if you're going to be intentional and you're living at work, then you need to turn away. Lay aside that sin. Don't participate. Don't join in. Get away from it. Hey, there's nothing wrong for you to please God rather than man at work. Really. And so to be intentional, see, that shows up at home in your marriage, how you deal with each other. You know, it's right down the list. So he says, if you're going to stay focused and live intentionally, then focus on Jesus will reveal those weights and those sins that you need to lay aside. And what that literally means, things that will beset, trip you up. It's like one of those vines growing up the side of your house. You know, that vine will wrap itself around everything. Whatever's there, that vine is going to wrap itself around and consume that and will hinder the growth of the plant. That's what can happen if we're not willing to lay aside every weight and sin. It'll beset us. It traps us. It wraps us up and robs us. As I said before, there is absolutely no value in sin. None. Did you know that? Sin does not add anything good to my life or your life. Nothing. Yet why do we think otherwise? So if we're going to stay intentional in our living, we got to stay focused, lay aside. When we look at the light of the world, that light will reveal to us whatever weight and sin we have that we need to get rid of so we live intentionally for Christ. You see, when I'm focused on Jesus, I'll see the way. I'll know the way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, didn't he? And I'll know how to live, to honor God, to glorify Him in this world in which we're a part of. Focus on Him, the writer says, the author and finisher of our faith. Look unto Him who's promised us that which is eternal, not that which is temporal. The more I look to Jesus and realize who He is and what He's done for me, what He's given to me, the promises, I think, man, I want to keep my eyes upon Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Isn't there a song? I won't sing it because I don't want to depress anybody. But, you know, we understand that nothing we gain apart from Christ is worth having. So what are you going to do? How are you going to know what's what and what's what? By focusing on Jesus. So that's the first thing. If you want to live an intentional life for Christ, focus. It takes real focus. The second thing is you have to have a faith that is working. A lot of people say they believe, but they're not doing anything about it. We got to have faith that is working if we're going to be intentional in our living. You see, faith has two sides of the same coin. On one side is trust. On the other side is obey. If you're going to have a faith that's working, you just can't stop trusting the Lord. You also have to, what, obey him. Jesus said that many times. You love me, you obey me. You obey my words. And so when we're thinking about being intentional, it takes a faith that is working. Not just something we talk about, but something that we're actually applying and living it out. James said not to just be hearers, but also to be what? Doers of the word. James says, show me your faith by what you do. You know, if you don't have a faith that's working, what did he say it was? It's dead. It smells up, it stinks in your life. I've met people, I hope there's no one here that today like that, but I've met people say, oh, I have faith, I believe. But boy, when it comes to practicing that faith, living it out, making it work, you'd see no evidence of that. What the writer of Hebrews in this chapter 12 is talking about the race. And the race is simply life, living life. He talks about this matter of the race. And when you're in a race, listen, you're not standing still. You're moving, aren't you? A race implies action. Faith that is working implies action. When James said that, not just to be hearers, but to be doers, he's talking about an active obedience. What you hear, live it out. What you hear, apply it. What you hear, obey it. What you hear, trust. So you got to have a faith that is working if you're going to live an intentional life. Must have a faith that works to put us in the race. Did you know that? You can't be in a race until you apply faith. Now what Paul said in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace through what? Faith are you saved, not of your works. It's the gift of God. We can't boast about being in the race because of our work. We're in the race because of our faith in Jesus Christ. So it takes a faith that's working to put us in the race, and I believe it takes a faith that's working to keep us in the race and to keep us running with endurance. You see, until one comes to faith in Jesus Christ, they're not in the race. They're living to lose. Did you know that? One who's living without Jesus Christ is not living to win. They're living to lose. Because if they die in that condition, they're going to lose it all. There's two types of people. Did you ever notice this about going to a race? There's two types of people at races. There's those who come dragging their chair and a bottle of water, and they're going to be a spectator. They're going to come and set their chairs up along the race route, sit there and watch the racers, runners, run by them. The second type, of course, in the race is those who are in the race running. Now, it doesn't take a lot of action, a lot of effort, to sit in a chair and drink some water and watch other people run, does it? But those in the race running, it takes a great effort. That's why the illustration here is to show us that we got to have a faith that puts us in the race and a faith that works every day to keep us in that race. We got to understand that we're not called to be spectators. There's too many spectators in the church today. Those are the ones who are content to come and sit and watch everyone else do it. I call them sponge Christians. They come and just want to sponge up everything else that others are doing. But don't ask them to do anything. Don't imply that you need to get involved. The church today is I think, hurting itself because people just want to be spectators and entertained. And, of course, a lot of churches are doing that. You don't do any good for anybody just to let them be a spectator. You need to challenge them. Call them to be a participant. To get in the race and run. And run with endurance. Sometimes life stinks, doesn't it? Sometimes life is difficult. Sometimes life is unfair. Are we to give up and quit because we don't like it? No. We're to run and run and run. Put our faith to work. Endure. For the glory of the Father. Very interesting. Runners focus on the goal. Spectators only focus on the run. There's a big difference in what comes out of their lives. Don't believe me? Look at chapter 11 of Hebrews. It's that whole chapter. And there's a little phrase in there after all those people. By faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. What it meant was they had a faith that was working. Think about Noah. You know, God told him to go out in the middle of the desert and build a boat. Don't be a flood. Now, some believe there was never rain until that time comes. There's verses that kind of hint to that. I'll let you decide, but, you know, there was Noah out in the middle of the desert building a boat. Why would you build a boat in the middle of the desert? Because God told him to. Noah had a faith that was working. He stayed focused upon that which God had asked him to do. And guess what? Had Noah somewhere in the building that ark decided this is not worth it, I'm tired, I'm sick of the sun, you know, these sand fleas, you ever had those sand fleas bite you, and sand spurs and all that stuff that goes with the thing. So hot and humid out here, I can't stand it. I forget it. I'm going home, Lord. Can you imagine what Noah would have missed out on had his faith stopped working? Had he decided to do it his way and not God's way? Think about Moses. Had Moses not had a faith that was working, they would have stayed on this side of the Red Sea, not on the side God wanted them on. Now, he had to say to those folks, you know, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of God. He said, I promised those people they're not even have any mud on their shoes when they cross over. Now, I don't know about you. We, you know, common sense tells you where there's water, there's going to be mud. But God said, no, I'll make it such that when my people cross over, they'll not even have any mud on their shoes when they get on the other side. Had they not had a faith that was working, guess what? They would have stayed there and probably been consumed by the Egyptians. I hope you see what I'm saying. Is this matter of a faith that's working? You've got to have a faith that's working to lay aside the weights and the sins. Because your faith teaches you not only to trust God, but to obey Him. You've got to have a faith that's working, folks, if you're going to be intentional in your living. You got to really get up every day and say, this is the day that I choose to serve the Lord. I'm tired of people saying they want to please man more than God by letting man convince them and change them. You know? When I hear those songs sung and stuff, I'm thinking about the majesty and glory and the holiness of God. That I'm going to stand there one day. And I hope and pray that God will look at say, thank you for being a faithful servant. That you live to please me, not man. Folks, listen. If you're going to please man, you're in trouble. If you're going to please God, sometimes you're going to get new friends. So just think about it. So he says, faith that is working. You've got to be intentional. We've got to let our faith work, not just talk about it. You know, when you're running the race, living life, sometimes, you know, you got to put your faith where the rubber hits the road type of thing. I've seen so many times in my life where I think, I have faith, oh, I believe God. But boy, when something comes, you know, you fall apart. You fizzle out, whatever you want to say. You know, you walk around wringing your hands, oh me, oh my, what's going to happen? See, in those times when you're in the race, running, living life, you're going to have those difficult times. Runners in a race doesn't always have it easy. You know, sometimes they can get themselves in trouble looking around, looking back, rather than staying focused. And so when those times come, it's a time what? To trust the Lord. To say, God, I don't know what's going to come. I don't know how this is going to work out. But my trust is in you. And I'm going to continue to endure. Because I know you have what's best that's in store for my life. I've said this, and I'll keep saying it, and I don't know, I've probably said it here. But you know, I get up every day and say, God, you're sovereign. God, you're in control. God, you have everything in its right place. That's why I'm trusting you. I believe that with all my heart. Now, if you don't believe in the sovereignty of God, you won't believe that. But I'm so stupid and I'm so ignorant, so simple-minded, that I really believe that God does have everything in its right place for my life. Now, whether I see it that way or not, that doesn't change the fact he has. That's why I know I'm going to heaven. Not because of my performance. Anything else is because of the promise he's given me. Philippians 1:6 says, what he started, he's going to finish. I believe that, don't you? And only a sovereign God can do that. God wants to develop us to make us stable disciples so that we are effective in our living and fruitful in our lives for him. That's why we need to have a faith that is working, that our trust and our obedience grows in him. That we become that stable disciple. And we're intentional in our living. How's your faith today? Is it working? Or is it dead? You have to decide. There's only two types that I find in Scripture. Faith that's working or a faith that's dead. And the last thing, I'll close this out. We have to be filled and led by the Holy Spirit. I wish I had more time to spend on this. But stop and think about it. Paul said in Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you're going to run this race with endurance, you've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is our number one helper. We cannot live the Christian life. We cannot run the race. We can't be in the race apart from His Word. He's the agent of redemption that puts us in the race. Born again, you know, born of the Spirit. Once you're born again, God puts you in the race. And it's through the help, the working of the Holy Spirit in my life every day that I'm able to run that race with endurance. That I run and not grow weary and faint and lose heart because of His strength and His work in me. Now, folks, listen, there's a big difference between being filled and led by the Spirit and just being a Christian. I compare it this way about the spectator and the participant. I think those spectators, you know, the race, they can be called a Christian. They can be indwelt with the Spirit. We all are when we're saved. But there's a big difference between being a spectator and being in the race running. I compare those running with endurance are those who are Spirit-filled and Spirit-led today in the church. Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, want to be filled with the Spirit. That's not a one-time thing. That's continual. That's daily. Now, I've used this over the years when I was dumber and greener and younger, whatever. I used to use an illustration. You probably heard other pastors use it. Well, you know, your old gas tank kind of gets empty and you got to go back and get filled up again. Or your batteries need recharged. Folks, listen, the Holy Spirit is not a liquid and not a power. He's a person. Now, gas may run out of your gas tank because it's a liquid. But the Holy Spirit doesn't drain out of my life. He's with me. He's in me. But the question is, that word, be filled with the Holy Spirit, what that implies is this, to be under His control, to be under the Spirit's control more than, you know, sometimes He is, and to be under His influence. That's why if we're going to run this race and run it with endurance and be intentional about living, we got to be filled and led by the Spirit. We got to be under His control, under His influence. Now, some people sit as a spectator and they never hear the Holy Spirit speak. You know, well, I'm not denying their salvation, but they just are not filled and led by the Spirit of God. For me, there's a big difference. Now, you don't have to agree with me on that. But I don't know if it's not true. Why did Paul say to be filled with the Spirit? We need His help. He's our number one helper to give us strength, to give us encouragement, to enable us, to empower us to run the race. Aren't you glad for the encouragement of the Holy Spirit when things get tough? That's why Paul said in Galatians 6, not to grow weary in well-doing. He didn't say you'll never get tired, but he said don't ever get tired of doing what God wants you. The only way we can make that happen, see it happen in my life, is through the work of the Holy Spirit. We need His strength, don't we? We need His enabling power. There's some days when I get up and I don't even know if I can get out of bed. How about you? Those days are getting more and more, you know, as I live a little longer. But you know, as a Christian, I think the way I can be intentional in this race called life is through the help of the Holy Spirit. There's absolutely nothing He cannot enable us to do. There's absolutely nothing He cannot empower us to do. He was part of the resurrection. And Paul said, you know, the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit who raises you. He's and lives in us. So think about it. Don't be just those who desire to come and just watch the race, be a spectator, saying, oh, I'll remember this guy. He's dead now, but I'll remember he told me something. And freedom. One day he came up to me. He said, Pastor, he said, all I need to know is I'm going to go to heaven. That's good enough for me. And I don't need anything else. And I thought, how sad. That man was robbing himself of something he didn't realize he had. And that was to live out his salvation. Be led and filled with the Spirit of God to see the beauty of Christ, to see the greatness of Christ. Do you think you know everything there is to know about Jesus? Huh? You got that all figured out? You do. Well, praise the Lord for you. I'm still working on it 40 years later. Because when I think I know something about Him, all of a sudden I realize I don't know hardly anything about Him. He's so great and wonderful. And our desire is to live intentionally so that not only do we know that, but we convey that to a lost and dying world. But think about it. living intentionally what it takes. And that's everywhere, as I said. Every area of your life, you should what? Run the race. At work, at school, you young folks, you know, sometimes it's tough at school. I know that. We got grandchildren. We're starting now to see those things show up in their lives. And it's sad. It breaks your heart. You children, you're a child of God. Be intentional in school because God will take care of you. He will provide. No matter where you're at, if you're going through some difficult times right now, if you're in some deep water, it's about up to your neck, you know, what do? You continue to trust and obey. The Holy Spirit will give you victory. I need His victory in my life every day, don't you? You know, Paul says to Galatians 5:16, as to walk in step with the Spirit, so we do not feel the lust of the flesh. The old devil is out there, isn't he? 1 Peter 5:8 says he's walking about like a lion, going roaring lion, going to and fro, trying to find those he can devour. That's not written to lost people. That's written to Christians. 1 Peter, 2 Peter is written to persecuted Christians. Why did he write that to a Christian? Because here's why. Satan right now is looking what he can do to pull us away, to drive us away, to lead us into sin, temptation, into the lust of the world so greatly that he renders our faith ineffective. You ever heard someone say, oh, that person used to walk so close to Jesus, they had such a close walk with Christ, but now look at them. What's happened? Well, I don't know what has happened, but I know this. They're no longer intentional in their living. So what's God saying to you here today? I don't know. Are you in the race? Have you had a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm talking about being baptized into the body of Christ. Have that union with Jesus Christ. Have you had that experience? Not, why not? What are you waiting on? God doesn't undo anything more. He's done it all. It's up to you to respond and receive that free gift that He's offered to you today. So have you had that life-changing experience? Until you have, you'll not be in the race. And you're not running with God, you're running away from God. You're not running towards glory, you're running towards hell. So is that what you need to do to make a decision? I don't know. Maybe you're a Christian, you realize something. Boy, my life has not been intentional lately. I'm looking at my life right now. I'm seeing what God is seeing, showing me right now. I'm seeing that. That's not where I need to be. And I need to confess, repent, and ask God to renew and restore me. Put me back where I need to be in the race, running. Running it with endurance. This church needs your faithfulness. The kingdom of God needs your faithfulness. The world out there needs your faithfulness. I said this one time, and I think some people almost choked on it. But I believe this all my heart. Do you know the church, a Christian, owes the world something? Oh, I don't owe that world anything. Yes, you do. If you're a child of God, you owe them a good testimony, a good witness to the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what God did for us? He did for me what He shouldn't have done, but He did anyway. That's grace, mercy. So I don't know where you're at, but wait, if you'll come now, close out the service.
Martin and Dave and I will be up.